KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I'm from Pacific Heights.
I live in Fremont.
I live in Russian Valley in the Richmond District.
I live in the Inner Sunset.
Coming up, we're headed for one of San Francisco's public housing projects to see what the educational liaison there is doing to help students succeed.
It's really to get the kids that are struggling in attendance and at the school. And the overall goal is to have self-sufficiency.
Then we'll hear about how a couple of young men are working with kids at the Alice Griffith Housing Project to boost their academic success. First step, showing up at school.
The more kids that show up to that breakfast, the better. I'm telling you, these differences are tangible. Like, you could see it.
Our original documentary series, Learning While Black, the fight for equity in San Francisco schools, continues today on Cross Currents. San Francisco's African-American community has shrunk by half since 1970. A huge chunk of the black middle class is gone, and most black families that remain struggle with poverty. Nearly a fifth live in public housing or get a rental subsidy. That's what enables them to stay. So when the city decided to try to retain and support black families, focusing on public housing made sense. An initiative called Hope SF has been giving some housing projects a major makeover, rebuilding them as mixed-income housing and bringing in all kinds of services, nutrition classes, job training, and educational liaisons, because public housing is a key front in the battle to improve educational outcomes for black students. KALW's education reporter Lee Romney takes us to the Alice Griffith Housing Project in Hunters Point to show us how. And a quick note, KALW is editorially independent, but our license is held by the San Francisco Unified School District.
I don't need the
The sun's barely up when I get to this community room at the Alice Griffith Housing Project. But a bunch of squealing kids are already sprawled on exercise mats, working on their abs. This is a before-school program, and all the kids live in the project's new blocks of pastel-colored apartments, some directly above this room. When they stumble in all sleepy, two young black men are here to greet them for a little mind and body grounding.
If you tell me why we meditate, you can do it. Why we meditate, Mr. Johnson?
So we don't have to get in trouble and we get our mind right.
That's Kevin Williams, the housing project's educational liaison. Kevin's 29 with a neatly trimmed beard, and today he's wearing a purple t-shirt that says, "School is my hustle." His sidekick here is Stefan Ragler.
Movement of the
Stefan's singing a little Bob Marley this morning. He's 23 with mellow energy. He sports stylish heavy-rimmed glasses and Converse sneakers. And he's a student government vice president at San Francisco State University. After a quick breakfast, everyone piles out the door to walk to Bret Hart Elementary School, just a few blocks away. They call this a walking school bus. Plenty of parents and guardians here have trouble getting their kids to school for all kinds of reasons. Having Kevin and Stefan as escorts every morning helps.
I'm saying he's three. Can he still go with y'all?
This mom of a three-year-old asked Kevin if her son can join in. He goes to a preschool that's located at Bret Hart.
Yeah, he go there already.
So Kevin tells her, sure, none too small to take part.
Hey, girl.
Kevin and Stefan aren't teachers. They work for a neighborhood nonprofit called 100% College Prep that partners with Hope SF to support kids in public housing. They're grassroots educational advocates. Because even a great school can't give these kids everything they need to succeed. It takes more attention, more knowledge of their home circumstances. Kevin and Stefan are part of this big web of support that's surrounding the kids from this housing project. When the group gets to the crosswalk near the elementary school, this happens.
All right, ready? Woman, keep it moving, keep it moving. What? We ain't got no time to be cruising. It's the walking school bus and the people we trust. At the end of the day, all we got is... Here we go.
Me!
Kevin wrote the song, more of a group chant, really, with help from the kids. A little thing. But as the educational liaison for the housing project, he's big picture. He tracks how all the children are doing in school and designs programs to help them do better. And Stefan, He follows the kids into the classroom to keep an eye on them during the school day and help them with their work. Bret Hart Elementary's principal, Jeremy Hilinski, loves these guys.
The more kids that show up to that breakfast, the better. They get here on time, they've got good rapport with Steph and Kevin, and then they show up like Felton. Felton used to be kind of a hot mess, and he's here smiling in the morning now. I'm telling you, these differences are tangible. Like, you could see it. Lee, two African-American men. That's right, we're talking about you here.
Two African-American men. That's important because more than half the residents and kids at the Alice Griffith Housing Project are African-American, too. And Stefan says,
if they don't have a father, they're looking for a father figure to, like, attach onto, so which is sometimes the reason why they act up in class.
Stefan gets it.
It's a hard job. I don't have any kids myself. My mother's a single parent, so I definitely see the struggle.
Some of San Francisco's African-American students are doing great, thriving. But data from the San Francisco Unified School District show that overall, as a group, Black students post some of the highest absenteeism rates. And HOPE-SF data show that at half its sites, including the Alice Griffith Housing Project, African-American kids were even more likely to miss school. That's why the director of HOPE-SF created the position of educational liaison, to make sure these kids get to class. But there's more. As a group, African-American kids by far score the worst on the district's standardized math and reading tests. It's been that way for decades, here and around the country. And data for students who live at the housing project supported by HOPE-SF, a recent analysis showed their scores were even lower. That's why Kevin passes the baton to Stefan every morning.
So I usually spend about 2 hours in each classroom because I don't want to just come in for like 30 minutes and then leave. That's not really much.
Stefan gives any student who needs it extra support, but he keeps a special eye on the kids from the Alice Griffith Housing Project who go to this school. I stick close to Stefan today and follow him into a fourth grade class.
So would you ready to do spelling test?
Scholar.
Focus.
Scholar.
Focus.
This is not a quiet classroom. The teacher spends a lot of time just trying to get students to calm down. Stefan stands in the back of the room. He notices one kid hitting himself on the head with a book and jots it down in his notebook. It might mean the boy is struggling with something that's distressing him, or he might just be bored. Some kids start doing their work, book reports in the form of a letter to the teacher, and Stefan glides around, squatting next to them to help them out.
Okay, birthday, B-I-R-T-H. So school's all about learning.
Two of the students are in their fourth schools, and they're only in fourth grade. That bouncing around makes it harder for them to trust the adults here. On this day, one boy, who Stefan says is super sharp, can't sit still.
He's kind of restless today. Just show him a lot of love and try to be right on him.
That's all I got to do. That's all I'm trying to do.
When a classmate taunts the boy, it just makes things worse.
He keeps on calling me Crackhead.
The teacher tells the other kid that's unacceptable, but the damage is done.
I got my notebook!
Why are you yelling? No one's yelling at you.
Because!
No one's yelling.
Because!
Because.
Stefan moves in close to do something simple. Show the boy he cares, that he's there.
I got you.
He's irritated. I hate him.
We good.
Let me back up a bit. HOPE-SF created the job of educational liaison in response to those high absenteeism rates. But HOPE-SF itself, it grew out of something called the Seven Corners Study. The study looked at child behavioral health, child welfare, juvenile delinquency, school attendance problems. And it found the neediest kids in the city were concentrated at seven San Francisco intersections. Almost all were in or near public housing. And almost all were in disproportionately African-American neighborhoods. The circumstances these kids contend with are all over the map, though. Some just don't get enough sleep. Mom works graveyard shift, auntie isn't as strict, they stay up too late, that kind of thing. Others are dealing with family deaths and a lot more. Back at Kevin's office at the Alice Griffith Development, I ask him how prevalent these kinds of challenges are for kids here.
You know, experiencing violence or addiction,
high
or
rate,
incarceration.
High rate, very much so high rate. High, very high. And dealing with that almost, I don't want to say on a daily basis, but they've been exposed to a lot here. Yeah.
Kevin's job has more moving parts than Stefan's. He tells me he's an educational liaison, not just for the kids, but for parents and guardians, to help them support their own children.
Remember, the goal of the Washington School Bus is to not, you know, it's not that, like, we want high numbers there, right? It's really to get the kids that are struggling in attendance and at the school. And the overall goal is to have self-sufficiency to get parents that want their own kids to school, right?
Right.
If a kid's a no-show or late to school, Kevin tracks that parent down to say,
you know, we have the Washington School Bus as an outlet if you need it, or is there anything I can do to help you support? You know, I just want to know what was going on. I'm used to seeing him or her every day.
So about 36 of the kids from this housing project go to Bret Harte Elementary down the street, and the walking school bus is for them. But more than 200 school-aged youth live here, and Kevin's available to all those families. To get parents involved, Kevin needs to strike a delicate balance. Not long ago, he showed up in a van to ferry families to a district-wide enrollment fair in the Mission District. No one showed up.
Maybe I gotta do a better job at outreach, but I mean, I had it 2 weeks in advance. I feel like there's a thin line between, you know, providing too much of a service here, and then folks get somewhat of an sense of entitlement, and then they don't want to go out, right? Because they know that we're gonna bring the services back to them. So those are the harsh conversations that we're gonna start having.
So how can Kevin get parents to nurture their kids academically? Well, he runs a meeting once a month so they can all talk it out together.
This one, I'm expecting a little bit more people to come. We'll see how it goes.
Kevin's playing some R&B from his iPad. A big tray of turkey lasagna sits waiting. One grandmother and a couple of parents trickle in. A bunch of kids are going to be honored for strong attendance, but the parents of most of the kids on that list aren't here tonight. Attendance hasn't been great, and it's a small group again.
So we're going to start off with an introduction, right? And like a quick icebreaker. We're going to get to know each other here. I'll start off. I'm Brother Kevin. I'm the educational liaison here. And the question that we're going to be answering is, as a child growing up, who was your educational support system other than your teacher?
Kevin tells them his mom worked all the time.
So my brother helped me with my homework every day. My brother and an after-school teacher were my support system for me.
My name is Regina, and I'm Derek's grandmother. When I was in school, after school, my parents and maybe at the club or something that we attended.
Kevin gets the group talking about what works for their kids and how they can be more involved.
When you hear about be about your child's education, what's the first thing that comes up when you hear about that?
Be available for your child's education, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
And find out as many resources as you can.
Making sure we have resources, right? How many of you guys have an active relationship with their teachers or their counselors up there?
I personally, for me, I haven't had time to meet. I just met talking on the phone with her teachers.
That's still communication. That's important.
When it's time to eat, okay, so Grandma Regina says she's appreciative. She didn't expect to be raising her grandkids, but here she is doing it. Having these meetings, some guidance, it helps.
This makes me think all over again from when I raised my kids. And I'm starting all over again. And I think they really need a little bit more, but it's a good thing. It's a start. It's a start.
The goals of HOPE-SF and the Bayview nonprofit that Kevin and Stefan work for are long-term, because raising the academic achievement of these kids is not going to happen overnight. I follow Kevin to a meeting with his boss, the nonprofit's executive director. He's here to brainstorm with her about a literacy campaign called Get Caught Reading.
My idea was the getting caught reading was really largely for parents. So it's like, you don't have a habit of reading in your own home. How can you get caught reading?
And then the parents, you know, go and then it becomes one joint thing.
Right.
To get parents to then help their kids read. Billboards, grocery labels, cereal boxes, or whatever. Getting parents hooked, that's Kevin's challenge.
Some of my meetings are really informal. To be outside.
Right.
So even, and I see most of the folks outside all the time, right?
Yeah.
So even with that, like just passing out, maybe I could pass some newspapers. Here you go, my brother, there's some newspapers.
Right.
Instead of you just sitting here like, we could be reading as well just to show that. Right. And maybe it might take me to model that.
Because you know, Kevin says some families that need the greatest support haven't been coming to parent meetings. That's where his one-on-one work comes in. He tells me about a family he's been supporting for a long time. The mom's youngest boy had been at a small elementary school.
He had a lot of assistants, you know, anything went wrong, he had a teacher walk with him and calm him down.
But at his big new middle school,
with all of his friends, you know, he had a difficult time there adjusting, right?
So Kevin helped mom get her son into a new school across town. He's in seventh grade now, and Kevin says he's doing much better.
He loves it. Unfortunately, you know, he's like the token black folk there. There's like 3 or 4 of them there. But for the most part, he needed a new environment. He needed to get away. He needed to be exposed to new things, right?
Kevin walks me over to meet the boy's mom, up a steep dirt embankment, through a hole in a fence, and past vacant units boarded up in an attempt to keep out squatters. Her family's just one of a handful still living in the old rundown section of the Alice Griffith Housing Project. They're scheduled to move within weeks to the newly built pastel-colored apartment blocks. Mom's name is Yvette Blankenship. She's 48, and she tells me she's lived here for a couple of decades.
It's been a long struggle through here. A good one, though.
Yvette says it took her a while to trust Kevin and embrace his help with her older twin boys, who are high school freshmen now, and her seventh grade son, Dion.
When he first started coming around with Dion, and I kept saying, who is he? And Dion like, no, this is Kevin, mama, this is Kevin. And I said, I need to meet this Kevin. I like hearing about this Kevin. I had to warm up a little bit, but then I got used to him. We started conversating, and I got used to him coming to get the boys, take them out, do more things, different things, you know, showing them different things besides being right here.
Different things besides being right here, like taking them out to play basketball. Because a big part of what Hope SF and Kevin are trying to do is reduce some of the isolation that these families experience. Yvette's health is poor, and she has no car. So when Dion moved schools, she couldn't accompany him. Kevin helped arrange for a school bus. But until that got started, it was Kevin who gave Dion rides across town.
Picking them up, taking them there, picking them, dropping them off, bringing them back home, which was good. I didn't want him catching the bus. The muni bus, because he's so little, I don't too much going on.
Kevin also helped Yvette straighten out a housing problem that came up when her husband of 18 years left the family a while ago. The thought of losing her housing was really stressful, and it came on top of other difficult circumstances. Not everyone in this housing development has experienced trauma, but Yvette's family has, and that affects not just her, but her kids. Yvette has lupus and suffers from seizures. Her health took a turn after her oldest daughter was murdered 9 years ago.
I had to go identify all that, and it was so terrible. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But I got to keep my head up and move forward, you know.
For man, you and yeah. for them.
Yeah, yeah, I got to stay strong.
Yvette says she keeps the kids close so they'll be safe, and she makes sure they do their homework.
Yeah, everything's going good. As long as they keep them grades up and keep them tendons up, I have no problem. Start messing up, then you get in trouble.
What's their punishment?
Take their phone. That's number one key.
So have the students at the Alice Griffith Housing Project been doing better in school? It turns out last year, Kevin's first as educational liaison, the number of Bret Hart students from the project deemed chronically absent dropped from half to less than a third. The school's principal, Jeremy Holinsky, says those numbers, they fluctuate a lot. They go way up when families from Central America and Samoa take extended vacations back home, for example. But he says the walking school bus has definitely helped. And some kids who participate are really transformed, like Felton, who joins the walking school bus on a lot of mornings.
He was literally hanging from the chandeliers last year.
Yeah.
Well, or the closest thing we have to chandeliers, curtains.
The principal says it's not just Felton's behavior that's improved. He's doing much better academically. Because he's calmer, he's in class way more often. We find him one morning for a chat in the principal's office.
My name is Felton, and my grade is third grade, and I'm 9 years old.
I tell him I've heard how much better he's doing.
Yeah, I am!
What's helping you do better?
Well, my work. Math is good, and science. Yeah.
Felton's also on the dance troupe this year, and he's loving it.
I got dance moves.
You got dance moves?
Lots of factors play into Felton's happy turnaround.
All right, good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, October 19th.
Principal Jeremy Holinsky says every student deemed at risk, including just about all from the housing project, gets a one-on-one adult mentor, and lots more. The district uses a tiered system to channel extra support to schools with the neediest students. Bret Hart Elementary is Tier 3, the highest. So the school gets extra funding for literacy coaches and family outreach, and teachers get time and training to do a lot of group planning. But as schools improve, the district scales those resources back. The principal says his school nurse was already cut to half-time a couple of years ago. So having Kevin and Steph run around to focus on Felton and the other kids from the Alice Griffith Housing Project, it's a huge help. It's slow work supporting students one at a time. Kevin and Stefan are on the job way more than their scheduled nonprofit hours dictate. They make sure the kids make it to weekend science fairs. They take them to the movies and to zombie tag. Both men used to live in the neighborhood, but neither of them do anymore. Kevin commutes from Daly City and Stefan from Pittsburgh.
My grandmother sold her house, you know. You see the dollar sign on the paper, you really can't pass that up.
But they both get up before dawn, day after day, to do the walking school bus all over again.
So listen, after we sing the song, I don't mind if you guys run, right? But we have to run where? Inside the crosswalk, right? Because if we don't, what happens? You get hit by the car. So if you want to run, stay inside the crosswalk. Can you guys do that today? All right, so one, two, three.
Keep it moving. What? Because we ain't got no time to be cruising. What? It's the walking school bus and the people we trust. Because at the end of the day, all we got is...
All right, let's go.
Inside the crosswalk.
Let's get it.
Hurry up. In San Francisco, I'm Lee Romney for Cross Currents.
That story was reported with the support of the Fund for Journalism on Child Well-Being, a program of the University of Southern California's Center for Health Journalism. Our series, Learning While Black, the Fight for Equity in San Francisco Schools, continues tomorrow on Cross Currents. We'll hear three generations of one Black San Francisco family discuss their experiences in public school.
As I got older and we were bussed out of our community, that's when school became not as enjoyable any longer. The busing situation for us in the 70s, it was more of supporting somebody else's notion that Black children should be integrated with other children and not attend the schools in their community anymore.
Our original documentary series continues tomorrow at 5. Today's Cross Currents team includes Janae Darden, Sarah Nora Coast, Maggie McKay, Kevin McLean, Lisa Morehouse, Marissa Ortega-Welch, True Gwynn, and Eli Wertschafter. Our engineers are James Rollins, Tariq Foda, and Gabe Graben. Content manager is Shirin Adil, with help from Kristen McCandless. Our managing editor is David Boyer, deputy news director is Angela Johnston, and our news director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.